character builds. Everyone has them or wants them. We decided to do something unique where we added rules imposed on a character. Our goal is to provide fun builds, which may or may not be novel, to fill an adventuring party niche. We call the segment Twist Builds. Welcome to Dueling GMs. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Anthony.
This is a show for GMs and players.
One about designs and details.
To build a better role-playing community. Let's get into the general character building rules and then talk about our character.
Great. So we set up a list of 10 rules and we're going to always abide by them. Rule number one, establish a theme, declare a concept, and impose a twist.
Rule number two, all characters are level 10 using point buy.
Rule number three, all races and classes are acceptable without explanation.
Rule number four, all Tasha's optional rules can be used.
Rule number five, no homebrew unless it's semi-official on D&D Beyond.
Rule number six, multiclassing is allowed, but must follow requirements for ability scores.
Rule number seven, no magic items unless the class somehow grants them. Any mundane items are allowed.
Rule number eight, all subclasses can only ever be used up to a total of 10 levels. We want to showcase different builds this way.
Rule number nine, established settings will be within the world we've been creating in our other workshops. We'll continue adding things to the world in future episodes.
And rule number 10, these builds are purely for fun and quirky concepts. They may be somewhat optimized, but no guarantees. All right, so today's twisted build. Anthony, you want to tell us the theme?
The theme was the idea of nothing can hit me.
Okay.
And we made a little note to maybe potentially try to max out our AC, but it was kind of left up to interpretation. We're both doing the same build here, which sometimes we don't. We're doing the same build, just trying to see what kind of different approach we can take with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went with the maxing out AC, I think, to not, maybe not the best, but I thought it was pretty up there. So I'm happy with it. Let's dive into it.
Yeah, go for it.
So I went with a Warforged Artificer, however you want to pronounce it. Let's start with the racial trait. Integrated protection. You get a plus one to AC right there. The other things with that is advantage on saving throws of being poisoned, resistance to poison damage, don't need to eat, drink, or breathe, immune to disease, don't need to sleep, you know, other things. The biggest thing here was the plus one armor class. And then I went with the artificer and specifically the armorer. And that's kind of the focus here is with our rules that we set for ourselves, being unable to use magic items unless the class allows for it, the build pretty much does just that. So the first thing infusion that I went with here is plus when you reach 10th level in this class, it's a plus 2 armor class while wearing armor or a shield. So I added this to plate mail, which, you know, already gives a nice bonus to armor class. The other thing that I went with here was the infusion for the repulsion shield, which gives a plus one to any shield. So most shields are, I think, 2 to start with. So this is a plus one there. It also has 4 charges that you can knock individuals back. I guess battlefield control, not a lot. That wasn't the focus, but that right. was definitely a part of it with a few features here. So between all these things, right now, armor class is sitting at a 24. The other thing that the that this class has, or this subclass, I guess I should say, is access to the haste spell at 3rd level. And while concentrating on that, it's a plus 2 to AC, advantage on dexterity saving throws to help with not getting hit there, and then take another action or dash, disengage, hide, use an object, etc. So that would put it up to a 26. And the other, I guess, the other aspect feature-wise got me access to shield once per short rest, so that adds another 5 on top of that. Not all the time, but, you know, when you're naturally sitting at a 26.
Yeah, that was an interesting choice, because I see you actually took the Aberrant Drakenmark feat to get your shield, which is kind of interesting, especially for the Warforged idea. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So diving into the feats, that was the first one. I took Booming Blade as the cantrip, shield for the spell there. If you are unfamiliar with that feat, is when you cast the first level spell, you gain, if you roll even, you gain temporary hit points. If you roll odd, one random creature within 30 feet takes force damage up to your hit dice roll. So I thought that was kind of fun for being a melee character. You know, if you are about to take damage, instead you throw up a shield and they take damage instead, or you throw up a shield and you boost your hit points. I feel like that's the time if something's coming at a 32 or 31, 32, that seems like a fun time to, make use of that. So the melee aspect of this build kind of centers around the Guardian. If you're unfamiliar, the Armor Artificer has two kind of different builds. There's the Guardian and the Stealthy version. So
Infiltrator, is that what it is?
Yeah, the Infiltrator, thanks. So I went with the Guardian, which has Thunder Gauntlets, which you can use your intelligence instead of strength for those. So they're a 1d8 plus 4. They count as a simple melee weapon. But the unique thing about them is a creature hit by them has disadvantage on attack rolls against targets other than you until the start of your next turn. And it kind of distracts them from attacking someone else. So I thought, hey, you know what would be fun with that is if I combine that with Booming Blade, since it is a melee weapon, just to add an extra fun bit of damage there. Kind of that synergy of the thunder. But then if they decide to move away out of fear for not being able to get through the armor class, or want to still try to attack someone else at disadvantage, then boom, they take some extra thunder damage, which I thought would be fun. Let's see.
I'm seeing one more stack here. I don't even know if you realized that you did it with your Booming Blade and your shield infusion.
So with the shield infusion of them taking force damage, I might not have realized it. What specific?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm seeing your repulsion shield.
Oh, that shield. Sorry, I thought you meant the spell. Yeah. So I don't know if that counts for forced movement.
It doesn't. It's specifically the Booming Blade says if they choose to move.
But yeah.
If they willingly move 5 feet or more before then, but if they're attacking you once and you're pushing them back 15 feet, they may have to decide, do I lose the rest of my attacks?
Or
do I run back up to try to attack again?
Yeah, that I think my focus was similar to that, but just on my turn. So the other feat that I went with was telekinetic for bonus actions. If there was someone else that was close enough that they could attack at disadvantage, I would want to move them out of the way. Or if they were Booming Blade on my turn, I could move them back 5 feet. The repulsion shield would also be a nice, scenario where they either take the Booming Blade damage when they move back into melee against me, because I already hit them, on my turn, for that you know, disadvantage on anyone else set up there. But yeah, the shield, the repulsion shield, definitely adds that extra bit in between. So I don't know, you know, both are applicable, depending on the situation. But I thought that would be fun to just sort of, you know, keep moving people around just a little bit. And then just all this booming damage, and then their choice of hitting me at an armor class of 26 with a few attacks. Even if the booming blade doesn't happen all the time, you know, that's still fun there. Yeah, the other kind of honorable mention spells for just battlefield control, just being melee, is Grease. You know, if they fall prone and if I'm around them, I could telekinetically pull them a little closer to me so I don't have to step in the grease, and then pummel them at advantage. Shocking Grasp, if they're wearing armor, they take lightning damage then, and then they can't use their reaction. So kind of a nice little backup setup there. Thunder Wave, Magic Missile. Yeah, kind of a little bit more like, you know, I'm thinking, you know, Hulkbuster style scenario. Just with a few more bells and whistles there. I think those were the kind of the main things. I do have, you know, Con at a +7 to keep haste going, which is nice. You know, other infusions that I don't have kind of actively set up. No, I apologize. I do have this one as well. The Mind Sharpener to help with concentration. You know, to keep that.
If you fail, you can automatically succeed.
Yeah. Keep that haste going. And then the other backup is the spell of refueling. So if I run out of haste, you know, spell slots, I can use it maybe one more time. But yeah, I thought haste was a very useful one for this melee nerd. Sorry, not melee nerd, but just nothing can hit me in the sense that, you know, up in that AC. So
I think the other thing that I see that's kind of cool is your, what's it called? Defense Matrix, Defensive Aura, Defensive Field. So bonus action, you can give yourself 10 temporary hit points four times per long rest, which is kind of nice. So you can keep on replenishing those temporary hit points quite a few times as well, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, so sitting at, I don't even think I gave the ability spread, strength -1, dex +3, con +3, intelligence +4, wisdom charisma -1. The other nice thing with, again, keeping that con saves going is, I think it's called Flash of Genius. Four times per long rest, I can add a +4 to saving throw, which is nice.
Which you'll need with a -1 wisdom save, strength save, and charisma save. The fact that you can add a +4 may, you know, be the make or break role for you.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, a few fun things there. But yeah, definitely in your face, melee style, and then, you know, kind of imposing disadvantage on, you know, kind of it's that forced aggro, so to speak. But also it's such a high armor class that, you know, it's kind of like good luck.
Right.
But yeah, and then the temp HP, just kind of bolstering that up again is also a plus.
So you've got a baseline at 24. Yep. You had a couple other things that could temporarily boost it. Obviously, shield would give it a +5 potentially. What was the other thing that you had?
Haste is a +2.
Haste gives a +2. So you could theoretically be running around pretty consistently at 26.
Yeah.
Cast shield for the round and be at a 31. Yep. And then you also have blink.
Yeah, I have other things like blink and mirror image and sanctuary as well, if I wanted to be not targeted, which means that I guess if I hit someone with my gauntlets and they have to hit me or suffer disadvantage and then I cast shield on myself, then they're probably not going to really do much for anybody.
Or, yeah, at least have to try to make that wisdom save and figure it out from there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then decide if they want to get past the armor class of 26.
Right.
Yeah. And then that's assuming I'm even there with Blink or. Yeah. Yeah. So a couple things there. I also cantrip wise went with Spare the Dying and I had Revivify. I figured if I was kind of up taking the brunt of it, that if someone else is taking the brunt to the extent that they're, you know, dying, I wanted to at least be able to maybe reach over and just help them out with that best I can. Yeah. it was kind of like, I'm not the dedicated healer. I don't claim to be. I will take the hits, but if you're next to me dying, yeah, I'll take my action to help you out. Yeah. What other fun things do I have spell wise? Arcane Lock, I thought was a good fun. There's not many times when, you know, the tank, I guess, is sort of running away from things, but I thought it'd be a good one that if you needed to, you know, help lock a door to just buy you some time or, you know, get out of dodge or something like that.
Yeah.
And then kind of on the reverse side, I had Shatter. It's like, oh no.
Right, right.
Yeah. Let's see. Skill wise, proficient in Arcana, History, Nature, and then Perception. So mostly intelligent based.
Okay.
Yeah. Nothing can hit me. I thought, 26 to 31. 31 once around, and then things with Mirror Image, Blink. Doesn't really, it doesn't impact haste at all. Just adds a little bit more defensiveness if I absolutely needed it. The spells are there.
Yeah, that works. Very nice.
So, yeah.
You definitely you out armor classed me. Because we sometimes compare that. So you're sitting at 83 hit points. That's not too bad. Artificer, 83 hit points.
Yeah.
What would you say if I told you I had a primarily wizard that has 96 hit points?
Go on.
All right. So I have almost the opposite save concept is what you've got. My ability spread is a strength plus 2, dex 0, con plus 5, which I'm realizing I might have actually copied this character over from a dice roll instead of a point by. I broke the rules. Yeah, I was sitting on this character before. It probably is a little too high. So con is probably not a plus 5, which means I might actually have a wizard sitting right around your lowly 83. But that shouldn't necessarily affect a whole lot beyond that. So the intelligence was plus 3, wisdom plus 3, and a charisma plus 1. So some of those numbers may be a little lower, but it still gives me a high intelligence and wisdom save, as well as a decent con. The other thing that I tried to build in with this character, with some of the class choices and race choice, which was a Duergar, Gray Dwarf. He is resistant to poison. He is he has advantage against illusions and against being charmed or paralyzed. Advantage against poison. And then I took Warcaster, so I also have advantage on maintaining concentration. So a whole bunch of advantages and resistances as well to kind of stack on to it's really hard to hit me type of concept that wasn't just armor class only. Sure. So that's kind of the nuts and bolts of the build. I started in cleric, life cleric specifically, so I could get access to, again, as a wizard, get access to plate mail armor and some of the nice dwarven weaponry as well. So he is 4 levels of cleric, 6 levels of abjuration wizard, which we'll dip into here in a second. But he's running around with plate mail, a shield, and a war pick.
Nice.
So baseline armor class is a 20. I can pretty easily hop that up with either bless for bonus on saving throws and attacks and stuff like that, or Shield of Faith to give myself another plus two. So you know, easily get that up to a 22, no problem. The Life Cleric was just mostly for the fun of making sure nobody dies. Building this character that has, we'll get into the really cool aspects of the shield that he can generate and how he can maintain that. But the Life Cleric stuff, just leaning into maximizing all the healing that you possibly can do. So I don't tend to build characters that often that have a lot of healing spells. This character actually did, even though he's a, you know, plate mail war pick wielding, you know, Duergar that goes up into the front of, you know, combat.
Yeah.
It just worked for this build for some reason. So yeah, so some of the other spells, since I was going down that list already, I also have Booming Blade potentially, because with Cleric and Wizard, you're only attacking once, you might as well dip into something that's going to do a little more damage. But if for some reason I'm feeling like I'm getting wailed on quite a bit, even something as simple as Blade Ward to give myself, you know, resistance against weapons, if I'm able to kind of draw a lot of attention, that may be the best approach on, you know, a particular round of combat. Absorb Elements, I planned on using pretty heavily. It's a spell I feel like people don't use all that often, but outside of Hellish Rebuke, Absorb Elements is one of the few reaction based spells that you can kind of apply when somebody attacks you, and you might as well. You know, it's
strictly right. Elemental damage.
It is. So you have resistance to the triggering type of damage until. Yeah. So it's reaction when you take acid, cold, fire, lightning, or thunder damage. Yes. So it's not just any type, you're right. So it gives you resistance to that type of damage until the start of your next turn. So if you're having a fight against a character that has multi attacks, it's helpful there. If you're fighting against, monsters that maybe there is a number of them and it's one of the first ones to go on that round, again, triggering Absorb Elements, give yourself resistance against the same thing happening again to you. Pretty powerful. And then you store that damage and you can add an extra d6, or if you upcast it for some reason, even more of that particular damage type on your next melee attack on your next turn. So it is a little bit limiting, but if you're playing a caster type that has a melee build, it's definitely worth having in your arsenal.
Yeah.
Let's see. Like I said, all the different types of stuff for assistance, aid, cure wounds, healing word, that type of thing, lesser restoration, prayer of healing. The bonus action ability that I was going to run with the whole time is spiritual weapon. At least gives me something to do on bonus actions. You know me, and not having anything to do on bonus action, that means you didn't build your character very well. So that would be the bread and butter for a bonus action. One of the really cool ones for this build, though, was a second level abjuration spell called Warding Bond. Lasts for an hour. And you have to touch a willing creature, and it creates a connection between you and the target. As long as they're within 60 feet of you, then they get plus one to their armor class and their saves, and they have resistance to all damage. And then anytime that it takes damage, then you take the same amount. So if it's going to normally take 8 points of slashing damage, it reduces it to 4, and then you also take the 4. So basically, it's not really resistance so much as it splits it with you. Uh-huh. But I figured a character like this that has quite a bit of hit points and has the capacity to heal himself and other people really well, that's probably a decent approach. So I was taking the idea of you can't hit me, our theme, and expanding it to you can't hit anybody. Let me find the weakest person and up their armor class and saving throws and give them resistance and all that sort of stuff. So that was kind of the basics on a lot of these spell casting types of things. But really the entire feature is built around something that I feel like a lot of people overlook, don't realize exists. If you go Abjuration Wizard, you get access to something called an Arcane Ward. Once per long rest, whenever you cast an abjuration spell of first level or higher, then you can create a magical ward on yourself that lasts until you finish a long rest. So there's no like concentration on it. There's no last for a particular duration. It's just at some point during the course of the day, whenever you cast the first level abjuration spell, then it appears. It has a hit point max for me of 15, but it's equal to twice your wizard level plus your intelligence.
Okay.
So again, wizard level 6. So I could make this a much higher thing if I just went straight wizard, but then having the armor and the weaponry and all that sort of stuff and the hit points just wouldn't work. So then you have your abjuration wizard that's hiding behind, you know, the barrels trying to pick people off, but also has the shield and it doesn't really seem as useful. So this type of build is the kind that I felt like made the most sense for actually caring to use the ward.
Okay.
So yeah, this one, at least with this build, 15 hit points, max HP, and it takes damage instead of you. Whenever you would normally take damage, it takes the damage instead. If it gets reduced to 0, then you take the remaining damage. But you can, whenever you cast an abjuration spell, basically replenish the spell. And it gets a number of hit points equal to twice the level of the spell that you cast. So, you know, take a little bit of damage, your 15 goes down to, you know, a 9, and then you cast a third level abjuration spell on your next turn, then it goes up 6 points and your 9 goes back to 15. It's a replenishing shield. So if they hit me with my armor class 22-ish, I also have shield, so, you know, could choose to increase that up to 27 potentially. If they choose to hit me, or if they're able to hit me, then Arcane Ward comes into play there and reduces the damage or just absorbs it outright. So the longevity of this character being able to stay in combat is extremely high.
Yeah.
And then I built so much of the rest of the spells around trying to get as many abjuration-based spells as possible. The other fun thing with this is with the Duergar, you can, once per long rest, cast invisibility on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And cast enlarge or reduce as well, once per long rest. So, you know, an undersized Duergar suddenly wading into melee and becoming a large version of a plate mail war pick wielding, you know, character. So it's one of those things where he looks like the one that everybody has to take down. And, you know, it becomes a target of everybody's attention. Doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of the taunting based abilities, but what are you going to do to a guy that is nearly impossible to hit, absorbs most of the damage, soaks up more of it if it's elemental damage, dishes it back out at you, is twice your size, and is doing additional damage because they have enlarged weapons as well. Oh, and it has a spiritual weapon flying around. And most of the time, if he doesn't seem like he, you know, you guys are too much of an issue and doesn't really even want to attack you, he's just healing all of his buddies while he's standing in the middle of combat. So,
yeah, it sounds very like weirdly supportive more than anything else.
Yeah, it really was built to be a support build.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so honestly, the fact that he can attack with that much like ferocity and potential damage is really secondary. He would do that if he was starting to run out of spell slots, or if it seemed like he was going to potentially be able to finish somebody off that was right in front of him. It was more presenting the threat of I am going to single-handedly rip you apart that he, you know, is really trying to present. And then what do you do with a guy that looks like he could probably shove the war pick through the back of your skull, and yet he's just healing everybody?
Yeah.
And that's what they always say, right? You take out the caster first, or you take out the healer first. Well, what if the healer is somebody that's impossible to hit and doesn't seem to really be affected when you do hit him?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You filled the gap there for sure.
Right.
That's fun. I didn't think it'd be as much synergy, but I like the creativeness there. I mean, your point spread seems a little closer, you know, to have that, you know, decent wisdom, decent con. You mentioned like a war pick, so I guess strength wise it's okay, but you overall have, you know, decent, you know, at least not negatives in your saves, so that's good.
Yeah, like I said, some of that was from dice rolling, so I'm sure the numbers wouldn't come out quite as well, but it's not terrible by any means. I think it looks like, just at a quick glance reworking this, that the intelligence and charisma would be the ones that would suffer, but the rest don't look too terrible. Actually, probably the dexterity, because he's wearing plate. Yeah, so I could probably more optimize that, but doing the quick point by version, still would have a strength plus 2, a con plus 3, and a wisdom plus 3. So his hit points would drop to a 76, but it's still a doable build.
Yeah, I like that. It definitely, now depend if your strength dropped a bit, you might be walking a little slower, but either way, you still got, you know, pretty good armor class. You are, you know, keeping up with the, you know, you got your arcane ward, you're healing others, you're, you know, keeping them from, you know, the worst of it, right?
It looks like, so it's strength of 15, so it's exactly what I would need for the plate mail without getting too slowed down. Just by virtue of being a dwarf, my walking speed's already a 25.
Okay.
But yeah, it's not anything that's not overcomable.
Yeah.
So yeah, a fun little build. So the attacks are a little less likely to hit, probably is the biggest downside to, you know, dropping those ability scores. But other than that, I think it's still pretty viable.
Yeah, you almost strike me as like not like a weak Captain America, right? But like a battlefield medic, so to speak. You know, you're in the front lines. You're doing the best you can to stay alive while keeping others, you know, alive. But you're in the fray. You're not like hiding in the back. You're not spell sniping. You're not, you know. Yeah, you're definitely like, I don't know if
right in the middle of it. Well, and that's our definition of the support caster was, you go a little bit higher constitution, you armor up a little bit, because a lot of the things that you do is going to require you to be within either melee range or a smaller aura of people. So you have to actually, you know, wade right into the middle of it.
Yeah.
Speaking of protecting other people, though, this is where the you get a shield idea really kind of comes online. I completely forgot that it was a thing. A higher level, sixth level wizard, which is why I went all the way up to 6 there, you can actually use your reaction to shoot your arcane ward off to protect an ally within 30 feet of you.
Okay.
Use your reaction to absorb their damage, and the same thing happens. If it reduces it to 0, then the person you're blocking takes the remainder.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good little cushion there. I like that.
So yeah, it's you're not going to target me because it's too hard to hit me. Okay, well, I'll just send my shield out to help everybody else, and you're also not going to really be able to damage them. Now what are you going to do? Oh, it's my turn. I'm going to cast another abjuration spell, and I'm going to re-up my shield. Yeah, so I figured it becomes a very frustrating build, which I realize more and more as we do this, that I seem to like building characters that are frustrating for, at least this time, it's only for the enemy and not for my allies.
Yeah, and I mean, you got a lot of good spells there with even Warding Bond. I didn't realize that was non-concentration. But it's abjuration. You know, it's a good cleric spell.
It definitely strikes me. The Warding Bond definitely strikes me as the type of thing that if you were to build, which I think you've done a couple times, and I like the concept of, but haven't at least for these builds yet, a barbarian that has spellcasting capabilities. This would be your thing, right? You're getting yourself resistance and then slapping somebody on the back and said, hey, I got you, buddy. and it's not a concentration thing, so you can cast it before you go into your rage, and then they have resistance as well on stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the one character that you know is almost never going to run out of hit points is the barbarian.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So you're basically taking half damage for the incoming attacks for you, but then you're also taking half damage from, you know, for the squishy character next
right.
door.
Right. Now, I do think they have specified that the warding bond, you can't further reduce the damage, but I'd have to double check on that. That would be really fun. You know, 8 points of slashing damage, your buddy takes 4, you take 2.
Right. I don't know if it does or not, but I'd be curious to read up on that. But either way, a lot of good cleric abjuration spells that work for your arcane ward, which you then use to protect yourself or others, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Nothing more demoralizing than seeing the tankiest character completely ignore you and continue to just replenish everybody's health.
Yeah. I like that. It kind of reminds me of like the protective like fighting style or something, but like on a magic side of things, right?
Right, right.
Which is neat. I like that. I mean, the build that I made, it wasn't as everyone else, but I guess just with the like aggro concept, it
right
sort of is a right. little
you,
bit.
You had a little bit more of the forcing people to attack you or else. And then make it nearly impossible to actually get hit.
Yeah. And then plus the temp hit points I could give myself, but it wasn't for anyone else. It was kind of like, I'm going to stand here as long as I possibly can as your guardian, but I'm not going to do anything past like that. Right. But I mean, it was a focused concept, I guess. And I definitely got the high armor class, the occasional spells to help get out of dodge if need be, but
yeah, it was definitely one of those that we intentionally left open to interpretation.
Yeah, no,
just I like, to see I like what we could stuff. Do with it.
Definitely, yours is unique, and I like that. It's a good variety there. So, I was when you mentioned about like, you know, helping others, my first thought went to paladin auras. You know,
sure,
it's a classic go to, I guess, but.
And I think I had considered that first instead of the life cleric. And there was a particular reason why I didn't go with that. I think it may have been accessibility to spells. Mm-hmm. Might have been what it was.
Sure.
But even then, I don't know. I mean, I've got two fifth level spell slots, but I don't know any fifth level spells or fourth level. I don't know if I even finished building out this spell list. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure, but I know
I can only cast third level wizard spells, and I can only cast second level cleric spells.
Yeah, that makes sense. But since you're a 10th level character, you should have, you know, fifth level
slots. Yeah,
slots. So that
makes sense. Not being afraid of upcasting. I think the one. So I have Guiding Bolt, but I think the one damaging spell that I took outside of that was Pulse Wave.
Okay.
And it's another one that people just are not as familiar with, but I love it. 30-foot cone. You can decide whether it pushes people away or pulls people in. They have to make a constitution save, and it's 66 force damage. If they fail, half on a success. And if they fail, they're either pulled 15 feet closer to you or pushed 15 feet away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that with objects too. So again, just this massive, you know, everybody back the F up, right?
All right. Right.
I need to get to my buddy. I can't get to him. So I'm just going to have to ask you kindly to step back, sir.
Nice. Yeah. I like that.
And again, I mean, that's a third level spell, but if I'm casting fifth level, I might as well use that one as an upcast. And
sure.
You know, then you're doing like 8d6 or something like that. And it pushes an additional 5 feet for every slot level.
Yeah. And, you know, you're totally allowed to use, you know, you could use healing spells that, you know, upcast them too. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I probably would. I personally have a, you know, an issue with that because they're not very effective in upcasting.
They don't scale as well as
healing spells in general suck.
Yeah.
But then upcasted healing spells or wasting spell slots.
You can always upcast spiritual weapon.
Yeah, and that would probably be the other thing, especially if that's the one I don't even have to maintain concentration on that. That's the fun thing about this build. There's so many spells you just activate and you let them run.
Yeah.
But yeah, upcasting spiritual weapon would be huge also.
Yeah. Nice. I like the build.
Yeah, it's fun. So, and then, yeah, you definitely hit the nail on the head for sure. I don't know that I could come up with another build that just flat out has more. I mean, I've seen people talk about it, but I think they rely pretty heavily on some magical armor or other items. The only other thing I could think of with your artificer is that you might have been able to come up with like a cloak of protection or a ring of protection or something like that to give you another plus one on that. But I don't know how necessary it was. You know, it was once you get that high up, another plus one doesn't really matter.
Yeah, to me, I thought the mind sharpener was more important for haste, which is at plus two, yeah, an extra attack.
Because if you lose haste, you're losing your next round too.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, and where's the fun in that? Especially if you're trying to aggro enemies. So, So that was kind of my thought on that. I'm like, let me make sure that's good before we, if I need to be the guardian, so to speak, tank wise, then. Let me actually be that, not just be stunned for a round.
Well, it doesn't even say stunned. It's they can't move or take actions until after its next turn. I think they intentionally don't apply a condition. So then you can't do anything where somebody, lesser restorations you before your turn, and then you lose that condition. You can take your turn normally. A clever bit of wording on their part. I was looking at it just now. Because you know how we like our one or two level dips of fighter. And I was wondering if, I'm going to lose my next action, but if I action surge, then I could still take an action and then, sniff the cocaine and, go rechannel haste again.
Right.
It just started all back up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, my build's a little different, but, I think both are pretty viable in a good way.
Yeah, I think unlike some of the other builds we've come up with where they would potentially be annoying to play over a long period of time or annoying for either the GM or the other players at the table, both of these you could throw into pretty much any party and people would be appreciative of them being around.
Yeah, exactly. I like it.
Well, cool. That was a fun one.
Yeah. Any parting thoughts or?
I don't think so. I think it's given me a few more ideas for some other builds we've got on the chart.
Lined up.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm excited to see what we come up with next.
Yep. So, until next time.
Yep. Like, leave a review, all that good stuff. And we'll catch you later.